This morning, the devil is not going to take our joy.
No, hallelujah.
Because he says, in everything,
yes,
give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. You see, I was telling my wife, I said, this thing sure feels funny. At home, and I don't feel like I go anywhere. But you know what? You cannot let the enemy steal your joy. I heard there was a case in Macon, Georgia, where there was a shooting. And that's because
domestic shooting.
And that was because they were home in the house together too long. Something is wrong. Guess what? Don't let the enemy steal your joy. This morning, we're going to start back in the book of Matthew. We're almost to the end of the book of Matthew. We're in the final verses of chapter 26, starting at verse 69. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 69. Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, "You also were with Jesus the Galilean." And he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you mean." And when he went out of the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again, he denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." After a little while, a standbyer came up and said to Peter, "Certainly, you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you." Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, "Before the rooster crow, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. Let us pray. Father, this morning we come to you because we don't want to stop doing what you called us to do. We don't want to go in on the sidelines just because there is an attack on this world. But this morning we want to ask, oh God, that you will stay the hand of the enemy. We ask you, Lord, this morning that this virus that is spreading throughout the world, Lord, will cease. Lord, Elijah, he was just a man and he prayed that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't rain for a very long time. And he was one man, just like we are. And Father, you said in your word, wherever two or three are gathered in your name, you are in the midst. And we are more than two and three today. You said, oh God, if we shall agree on touching anything, it shall be done. You said in the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, we are asking, as we see these scriptures and as we understand your word, we are asking, oh God, for a divine intervention on behalf of the world, in behalf of your believers and unbelievers. Father, have mercy. And this morning we remember those who have lost loved ones. Father, those that are mourning today, those who are sad today, those who are sorrowful today because this dreadful disease has taken a loved one. Father, we pray that they would find peace and comfort in you. Let this time, Lord, that we are going through be a time when men and women, boys and girls, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, presidents, kings, queens, tribes, may all turn to you and cry out for mercy. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You know, I was thinking this week, and I was saying, how many of us, our prayer life has increased? Some of us, we are in a crisis. The world is in a crisis. And some believers, their prayer life is still the same. Some of them, their prayer life is still non-existent. This is the time we need to fall on our knees. He said, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and then I will heal their land and forgive their sins. Let us spend time this week, folks, in prayer. Amen? All right. So let's see what God has for us this morning from this short passage. You know, one of the greatest challenges when you're preaching through a book is when you get to certain passages, you have to pray a little harder, a little longer, to see what God is saying. Have any of you ever made a commitment with a resolve? I have. I've made many commitments. I don't know. One of the greatest things we do when we commit, one of the greatest commitments I think we have is a commitment in marriage. I think so. And I don't know, maybe there's a few. If you walking down the aisle to get married to your husband, and husband looking at that beautiful bride coming down, and in your back of your mind, you think this is not going to work, something is wrong with you. If I remember my experience of getting married, I remember coming down that aisle, I'm thinking, this is forever. I am making a commitment and a resolve. I don't know how many people walk down the aisle and say, this is not forever. I think most of the people who walk down the aisle has a resolve in their hearts that this thing is forever. When I was 12 years old, I gave my heart to the Lord. Somewhere around there, 12 years old. And I was walking through the marketplace, and the gospel was being preached, and it caught my attention, and the Holy Spirit drew me, and I gave my heart to the Lord, and I went home. And I told my parents with excitement, I gave my heart to Jesus. And there they would say, I give you 2 weeks. Well, I think I last about a month. I was gung-ho. I did not walk down the aisle and give my heart to Jesus saying, I'll only going to do it for a while. I didn't do that. But my brothers, they started to go to the party, and I'm thinking, boy, this coronavirus is keeping me home. They're going out to party, I'm staying home. Why? I have given my heart to Jesus. And boy, it started to get tougher and tougher. And one night, they said to me, you want to come? I said yes, and I went. I made a commitment with a resolve. But something happened along the way to make me break my commitment. Here's what Jesus said to Peter. Back up in verse 26 and verse 31. Jesus said to them, You will all fall away because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I'm raised up, I will go before you in Galilee. Peter answered, though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Let me tell you, that is commitment. If I'm a manager in a department store, I want people to say that kind of resolve. That's commitment. Woo! At least I have one person with me. They just announced to me that don't matter what anybody does, I am with you to the end. That's how most marriages start. some of you that are listening this morning started off your journey with Jesus Christ with a great commitment to serve him with everything you've got, and today you're not doing so. You started off with a great, with force. No, I could see myself like Peter. I'm kind of quiet. And guess what? I could see myself doing Peter. I could see myself walking with the Lord and saying, God, you see them there? They may run away, but you see me? I am with you to the end. What comes in? What are some of the things that come in and hinder us, make us break our commitment? One of the things I see is our belief does not match up with our experience. Our belief doesn't match up with our experience. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us much of what was going on in Peter's head. So I am going to try to get in his head. This is what the Bible says. He made a resolve. But somewhere along the line, he broke his commitment. I could just imagine he had a sword. Now, John told us that. John chapter 18 and verse 10 and 11 said this. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Hope I said that right. So Jesus said to Peter, put up your sword. Shall I not drink the cup that my Father has given me? I could just see that in Peter's belief, in his mind. Now, don't quote me on this. The Bible doesn't say this. I'm just going in Peter's head. I'm putting myself in his shoe, so to speak. I could see him having a sword. He is ready for battle. He is believing that the Messiah will fight a physical battle and it will have victory. He was expecting a great victory. And yet when he pulled his sword out and he was ready to fight, his belief and his experience didn't match up. Because Jesus then said to him, put it up. Not only that, Jesus healed a man. Come on now, Jesus. I'm with you. I am going to be with you no matter what. But yet, I'm ready to fight. I pull my sword out, and now you're telling me don't do it? Why did I get a sword for in the first place? And you told me to go get a sword. What happens when your experience doesn't match up with your belief? I always say this, when your belief has a clash with the Word of God, you need to allow the Word of God to win. Our problem is when our belief system clashes with the Word of God, some of us walk away because we want our experience to win. Serving God is not about experience. It's about commitment and obedience. Was it fear? Now, Peter was following Jesus from a distance. After all this happened, he's following him from a distance. I don't know why. I just think in fear. Fear of losing your life. You know, in this coronavirus, there's a lot of fear going around. And the fear of this virus can stop you from following Christ the way you're supposed to follow Christ. I heard on the news, or I tried to get on the news because I want to know what's going on. And WMAZ tells us that they're looking for volunteers. The first thing came into my mind was, if they think I'm going to go around to that coronavirus, they're mistaken.
Why Healthy Me? May we'll call this hotline number and get involved with something that is killing people. Fear. Now, if God spoke to my heart and tell me to do it, I don't have a choice. Even though I'm afraid, I don't want to die. It's not that I'm afraid of death. I'm not ready to die yet. I tell my daughter all the time, when we joking around, or I said to her, slow down, or I say to her, don't do this, and she says, be careful, I'll put you in a nursing home. And I say to her, I'm going to live to 120 and I'm going to be healthy. I want to live long. I want to see my grandchildren. I want to see my great-great-grandchildren. That's my desire. I don't want to die now. I'm not afraid to die because I know to live is Christ and to die is gain. Some people are afraid of dying. Not because of they want to see their grand. They're just afraid. And sometimes fear would keep you from walking close to the Savior. You know, if he wasn't afraid, he'd be walking close to the Savior. But he was afraid. Here's what fear does. It starts off nice and mild. Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. Now, servant girl now. Nobody to talk about. No authorities. Nobody. The people are sitting around there probably wouldn't have even done a thing. And because of fear of losing his life, fear of participating in the suffering of Jesus at that time, he says, I don't know the man. You know, it starts off very subtle. And maybe in his heart he didn't feel no great conviction. And then he went out into the entrance, and another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders. Now, they didn't approach him. She said to the people standing around him now, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied it with an oath. Now, he got stronger. The same man that had a great resolve to follow Christ, don't matter what, is the same man that is denying Christ. And every time he has an opportunity to say, I am with him, he took a stronger stand to say, I am not. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, certainly, you too are one of them. Your accent betrays you. Now, let me tell you something about the devil. If you walk with God, if your life is with God, if you're called by God, if you're associated with God, if God is part of your life, if you spend time closely with God, it doesn't go away that easy. You know, I know that. We used to go to Macon every first Friday when they started that thing in Macon, and we'd go to share the gospel. And when I share the gospel with somebody that I know that are very churched, at one time served God, I could tell. I could tell because of the things they say. And one time I asked a guy, so why you stop? Somebody in the church hurt him. And ever since that, he's done. His belief didn't match up with his experience. And when he saw it in the Word of God and it clashed, he rather his belief than the Word of God. And here Peter, then Peter began to invoke curses on himself and swear, I do not know this man. Here is he saying to Peter, he said, listen to this. At one instance, we do this very same thing. Jesus, I give you my all. I'm going to serve you with everything I got. I want to walk close by you, Jesus. And then over here, That sexy woman passed by. I don't know that man. Why? Some of us are doing it today in different ways than Peter did it. Some of us are trying to follow Jesus from afar. Sometimes we say this. I've heard this as a manager. I didn't sign up for this. I did not sign up for this. You know, one of the things that when I signed up to work at Save-A-Lot, they gave you all your responsibilities. And when they couldn't think of what to write down, they put a phrase in there, and they could ask you to do anything else. Now I understand why they put that phrase in there. Because I never had the opportunity to say, I did not sign up for this. We come to Jesus, and for lack of a better term, we are not reading the fine print. Let me read some fine print for you. Where is it? I didn't write it down. Oh, here it is. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14. Matthew 7 and verse 14. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard. Here's it. Some of us did not read that fine print. Let me tell you what we like. Remember we did Psalm chapter 1. We like, I shall not want. We like still waters. We like a restored soul. We like the path of righteousness. Doesn't that sound good? We like our cup to overflow. And we like the part, dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know the part we don't like? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't want that. We would rather have everything. No, I'm telling you, I'm like that too. If God will give me the power, so to speak, that I can take a black magic marker and mark out stuff I don't like in the Bible, I'll be marking out that part, I'll tell you right now. Because I don't like to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I wouldn't put narrow and hard easy either. I'll strike those out. I'll put wide and easy. Why? Because some of the things that come through, I want to say, Lord, I didn't sign up for this. But if we read the Word of God, there's a phrase in there. And anything else I ask you to do. Folks, you could try to follow him from afar. You could try to be a secret agent. The enemy is going to point you out. The enemy will find a way. And if he can make you look bad, he will. Well, so at 12, I gave my heart to the Lord, and a month later, I took it back. Lack of a better word. I started to live my life however I wanted. I did go to church every Sunday morning, like every nice Christian. Now, it's not like here. When I was growing up and you going to church, you didn't wear jeans. Your shirt wasn't out of your pants like this. I had to dress up. I'd get up and iron my clothes and go to school. And then I went to a school, and while I was there, I was doing the same thing. But I was still doing my own thing. And one night was a living place. One night I jumped the fence with a few more friends, went and do our partying, and they had a head count that night. And when we get back, we didn't know they had a head count. We just went back to sleep, like we normally do every time we jump the fence. And that morning, they said, we had a head count last night, and some people were missing. And, well, and if you were one of them, they're smart, you know. They're not going to call you out in case they miss somebody. Would you stand up? And I stand up, and everybody was shocked because I was a follower of Jesus. So I led them to believe. It's at that camp that Jesus called me again by name, and I gave my heart to the Lord and never turned back since. The enemy will point you out. It's what you do. Here's what Paul told the Galatians. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. Galatians 5 and verse 7. You were running well. What hindered you from obeying the truth? You were running well. What hindered you from obeying the truth? I have a question for each one of us this morning. Are you living for Christ, or have you been hindered? Some of you in the sound of my voice, it's not living for Christ. You're trying to serve Christ from a distance. And the beginning of your race were well. And I would say to you the same thing as Paul says to the Galatians. You are running well. What hinder you from obeying the truth? It's time to turn. It's time to turn. It's time to remember. Matthew chapter 26, verse 75. It's time to remember. And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus. Before the rooster crow, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. I don't know about you. I can only talk from my experience. There's times in my life that I, even as a minister, I do things that God, that it's like denying God. But every time I remember God's word. And it brings a sense of regret, sorrow, and sadness. It says, Peter remembered the saying of Jesus. He went out and wept bitterly. My question is, what is your response? Some of you who this morning you're getting a reminder that you served God at one time and he's calling you back. Some of you is getting a reminder that you're serving God from a distance and he wants you close. Some of you are getting a reminder of prophecies that have spoken over your life and you have not done it. Right now, your heart should be broken and you should be ready to fall on your face and weep before God and turn. I thank God this morning that one of the things that I'm so grateful for is that night was a Wednesday night. I was 17 going on 18. Started off at 12. At 17, 18, I heard the voice of God when he called my name and told me to return to him. I went to church because I remembered what God has done in my life. I surrendered my life to him, and I've never looked back. Have I made mistakes since? Yes, I have. But I've never looked back. Why? Because I remembered. And if you are living a life and doing things that God don't like, and it's not bringing tears and heartache and sorrow to you, maybe you don't know God at all. Maybe it's time for you to come to Christ. Maybe it's time for you to deny yourself and pick up the cross and follow him. This morning, God is saying to you, you who has walked away doing your own thing, he's saying it's time to return. You who have not even come to God, but you just know something about God, he's saying, come unto me, all he that labor. God wants you to repent and turn to him so you can be useful. And guess what? You can be useful today because there's so many people that have no hope. And this virus is stealing their hope. And you can bring hope to them. Just because you are a part of the kingdom of God. You know what? You have to embrace all of it. You have to embrace it all. Because in this time, he is our shepherd. He shall take care of us. But if we have to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, his rod, his staff will comfort us. If he has to prepare a table before in the presence of our enemies, he is there. So as you leave today, remember that even though you have broken your commitment with God, the songwriter, he was there all the time, waiting patiently. And he's waiting for you. Let us pray. Father, this morning, we just want to thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that we see a man that spent 3 years close to the Savior. And at the most critical time, he couldn't stand. But we see later on how you restored him and used him for your glory. Father, we pray those that are right now that needs to be restored, that you would call them by name. Just like you said, Peter, do you love me? Just like you called me by name. Father, I pray that you would call them by name. And that they would surrender their hearts and their minds and everything to you. And they'll make a new commitment to follow you with all their hearts and minds and soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, God bless. One thing I want us, we're going to turn the mics on because my wife said, and she was right, she said we turn off everything so she can say hi to people other places. So we're going to leave the...